You're listening to the Study Legal English podcast, the world's first legal English podcast, helping lawyers and law students become fluent in legal English. Hello and welcome to episode 42 of the Study Legal English podcast. I am your host, Louise, and today we are looking at some key legal English terms. These terms and more feature in this week's blog post by our guest blogger, Dimitri, which you can check out on the Study Legal English blog at www.studylegalenglish.com/blog. In this week's blog post, Dimitri explains some key legal English terms which he learnt in the pilot episode of the TV series Judge John Deed. Perhaps some of you out there watch this programme, perhaps you have watched it, perhaps you've heard about it. And in today's episode, we talk about some of these keywords which were mentioned in Dimitri's post, and we give some further details. If you would like to write a guest blog post on your experience of learning legal English or some tips that you have, then please send an email to me at info@studylegalenglish.com. So let's get started. The first term we are going to discuss is to plead. To plead. To plead means to make a plea. But what is a plea? Well, in relation to criminal law, a plea is a formal statement made by or on behalf of the defendant in court as a response to a charge made against him or her. A charge has a few meanings in legal English. However, in this context, it means a formal statement accusing a person of a crime, usually made by a police officer after interrogating the accused person. And interrogating means the questioning of suspects by the police. On a side note, if you enjoy watching criminal series or films, you probably will have heard the police officers say something when they arrest a suspect or take the suspect in for questioning. And they say something like, "You do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defence if you do not mention, when questioned, something which you later rely on in court. Anything you do say may be given in evidence," and so on. This is known as the right to silence in England and Wales, and this is basically the right of a person to not incriminate him or herself, meaning the suspect doesn't have to say anything when questioned by the police. In the USA, the phrase the police officers say begins with, "You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law." That's my very bad impression of a US policeman, by the way. So this phrase is known as the Miranda warning, in case you're interested. So that was a little bit of a diversion. Let's get back to the word to plead. So back to plead. The defendant in a criminal trial may plead guilty or not guilty. If the defendant pleads guilty, it means that he or she admits in court that he or she committed the offence with which he or she is charged, and therefore will be punished for this crime. If he or she pleads not guilty, it means he or she denies the charges. It is then up to the judge and jury to determine the guilt of the defendant. An important point to make about to plead is that we really must distinguish the verb to plead from the noun pleading. Pleading used to refer to the written statement drafted by counsel, counsel in the UK meaning a barrister, by the way, in which which a party sets out its case for civil litigation, or in other words, sets out the material facts, which are facts essential to the party's claim or the party's defence, that the party proposes to prove at trial, and in the case of the claimant, stating also the remedy that he or she claims. This document, this pleading, as it used to be known, is filed at court and served by each party on its opponent so that each side understands clearly the issues of the case. However, pleading is no longer the official word for this particular thing. Instead, following the civil procedure rules in 1998, a pleading is now known as a statement of case. However, pleading is still often used colloquially by legal professionals when they are not in court. So that's something to pay attention to. The civil procedure rules are the rules relating, unsurprisingly, to the civil procedure in England and Wales, and they were designed to, amongst other things, make the law more understandable for lay people. As you know, legal English uses many archaic, old-fashioned words, and the CPR, the civil procedure rules, replaced some of these with plain English equivalents, just as we saw with this example of changing pleading to statement of case. The civil procedure rules should make studying at least some of legal English a little bit easier for you, as the new words are more straightforward. On the other hand, it can be a bit confusing, as you may hear some of the old terms in TV series and even by lawyers themselves, as I mentioned, when they are speaking informally. And so it can be difficult to know which terms are in fact the correct ones to use. If you're interested in finding out the replaced words, you can check out the civil procedure rules by going to www.justice.gov.uk/courts/procedure-rules. So let's move on to the next term, which is a costs order. So first of all, what is an order? An order is a decision made by a judge which is not a judgment or the final decision of the case. The court order can deal with many things, such as the relationship between parties, and it may require parties to do something. Let's consider an example for it to make more sense. In family law, if a couple is having a divorce and children are involved, the judge may make a child arrangements order to define the living arrangements for the children. Will they live with the father or with the mother? This order is different from the decision about the divorce itself, but it still deals with some important matters of the case. A costs order, more specifically, is a type of decision issued by a judge about the costs of a case, dealing specifically with who should pay them. And when we talk about costs, we're talking about the costs related to legal services. Sometimes the judge has quite a wide discretion regarding the costs order, and in other situations, the costs to be paid are governed by statute and are awarded automatically. Costs orders can be made at interim hearings, that means hearings which are anything before the final trial, and of course they can be made at the trial, at the final hearing. In civil litigation, the general principle is that the loser of the case pays the costs reasonably incurred by the winner for the legal services he or she paid for in relation to the case. In Dimitri's example in the blog, he uses the phrase, "I recommend an order be made for costs." You might be thinking, is that grammatically correct? An order be made for costs? Shouldn't it be an order is made for costs? Well, you would be right in thinking that this sounds a little strange. This is an example of the subjunctive in English. This is something we don't often come across in general English, but which has an important usage in legal English. We'll be looking specifically at this topic in the next podcast episode. So, let's move on. What is sentence? Sentence can be a noun, the sentence, or a verb, to sentence. As a noun, the sentence refers to the punishment given to the offender convicted of a crime. For example, the sentence may be a custodial sentence involving imprisonment, or it may be a non-custodial sentence, one that does not involve imprisonment, but instead has something else, like a fine. The most serious sentence in the UK is a mandatory life sentence, and the only crime which carries a mandatory life sentence is murder. It means that the offender must spend the rest of his or her life in prison. If you are interested in criminal law and sentencing, you can find out more by reading the Criminal Justice Act 2003, which governs sentencing in England and Wales. So, let's move on. The next term is to cite authority. This means stating or referring to legal authorities such as precedent, either binding or persuasive precedent, or legislation such as an Act of Parliament. This is especially done in court to support a legal proposition or a legal argument, and it is also done in legal textbooks and articles to support legal points. Remember that binding precedent means a judicial decision which makes a rule which must be followed under certain circumstances, and persuasive precedent refers to things like a court decision of a lower court, decisions of courts outside the UK, or opinions in legal textbooks. These are things which the courts are not bound by. They don't have to follow them, but nevertheless, they may take them into account when reaching a decision. So, let's do a quick recap. We've covered three main terms today: to plead, costs order, and sentence. Although when explaining these terms, we came across lots of other legal English vocabulary. Of course, all of this vocabulary is contained in the Podcast Pro membership material, along with quizzes and a lot more. So let's do a quick recap. First of all, can you remember what to plead means? In relation to criminal law, to plead means to make a plea or to make a formal statement by or on behalf of the defendant in court as a response to a charge made against him or her. Repeat after the beep. The defendant pleaded guilty to the charges. Next up, we have costs order. What is a costs order? Can you remember? A costs order is a decision issued by the judge about who should pay the costs, the fees related to the legal services. Repeat after the beep. The judge made the costs order in favour of the claimant. Next, we have sentence. Can you remember the meaning? It means the punishment given to the offender convicted of a crime, for example, imprisonment or a fine. Repeat after the beep. The judge sentenced the offender to 3 months in prison. So that's the end of today's episode, where we've covered a little legal English vocabulary, which I hope you found useful. Next week, we'll be looking at the subjunctive. So if you have any comments or questions about this show or legal English in general, please get in touch. I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at info@studylegalenglish.com or join in the conversation on Facebook or Twitter. So thanks for listening and see you next time.